All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Jesus left his church two ordinances, as we've been covering in our basic Bible doctrines on Sunday afternoons. And one of them is baptism, and we've discovered and looked again at the scriptures what that is, immersion in water, and it's a symbol of a new life in Jesus Christ. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It also pictures a new life in Christ. A person is dead to their old life of sin and risen to a new life in Jesus Christ. And so that's what baptism is. The other ordinance is what we're going to observe tonight, the Lord's Supper. And we just covered that in our basic Bible doctrines class as well. And the Lord's Supper is also symbolic. It's a symbolic observance, and there are many religions out there that they call it communion, but it's a vehicle of saving grace to them. It's a means of obtaining salvation, and it's unscriptural. It's not biblical. The Lord's Supper has nothing to do with a person's salvation, and yet it's symbolic, but yet it holds very great meaning to the child of God. In the Lord's Supper, we can find basically the whole gamut of our Christian life and Christian experience, the beginning of our salvation, and the reason for our very existence is found in the Lord's Supper, all the way to the very end of our Christian life, and that is to finally be in the presence of the Lord, the hope for our future. All of that is contained and found within the Lord's Supper. And so it holds very great meaning for the child of God. And tonight I want to look again at the Lord's Supper, talk about the Lord's Supper, our time at the Lord's table, look again at what it symbolizes, what is expected of us as we come to the Lord's table, and find that it really is and should be and can be a time of blessing if we understand what we're doing. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 is one of the passages of Scripture, a major passage of Scripture, probably the prominent one, dealing with the Lord's Supper. There are other references, of course, in the Gospels. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, giving some instruction to them on how and what the Lord's Supper is about and how to observe it. And so let's look at this portion of Scripture. Let's just begin in verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. There are three things that I want to draw your attention to tonight regarding the Lord's Supper. It's, first of all, we're going to talk about how it's a time of remembrance. Secondly, a time of repentance. And then a time of renewal. Look in verses 24 through 26 with me. Paul says here, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." First of all, the Lord's Supper service is really about a time of remembrance. Remembering what? Well, first of all, remembering what we could call an agonizing Lord. Verses 24 and 25 give us what Jesus is symbolizing here. And he says, this is my body. The bread symbolizes his body. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Remembering what Jesus Christ did for you and for me is something that should be paramount in observing the Lord's Supper. The bread, the cup, or the juice represents the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That body that God gave him was to be broken. The blood that was sinless blood was to be shed for you and for me. And when we stop to really think about it, there's no way that we could comprehend fully the cruel death that Jesus Christ died to save our soul. But in dying and in shedding his blood, he opened wide the gates of salvation, that now whosoever would should freely come in. And there's a whole lot of people who talk about the agony of the Lord and the pain and the whip and the blood and the crown of thorns and the nails and all of those things. And those things, no doubt, were painful and were cruel. And it was a cruel way to die. But Jesus Christ endured the cross, and he endured most of all taking on the guilt of mankind upon himself. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could be become the righteousness of God in him, that we could be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The way of salvation is open freely for all because of what Jesus Christ did. And listen, as we partake of the bread and of the cup, let's remember, just remember what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary, where he took your place. The song that says, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. He took what we deserve, and the wrath of God and the punishment of God was poured out on Jesus Christ when it should have been me. And you know, we come together as saints of God, members of this church, and we sit here tonight free of condemnation. We don't dread the condemnation of God anymore because of Jesus Christ taking our place. He suffered and he died, and the body that was given to him of God was given to him to be broken for you and for me. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, this is a prophecy concerning Christ. But verse 14 says, "As many were astonied or astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. It gives us a little bit of an idea as to the extent that of the cruel torture that Jesus Christ faced. But verse 5 of chapter 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All that the Lord suffered. Jesus said, you take this bread, you drink of this cup, but you do it in remembrance of me. My body was broken for you. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to look at verse 26. A time of remembrance, remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and for me, but also not only an agonizing Lord, but we also remember an accomplishing Lord. Verse 26 says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. When Jesus Christ died, praise the Lord, he didn't stay that way. Amen? He's not hanging on a cross. He's not in a tomb as organized religion likes to portray. Often you'll see, you know, in Catholicism and their, you know, their pagan symbols, Jesus Christ is still hanging on a cross. He died, but he didn't stay that way, because after three days and three nights in a tomb, he arose from the dead and he conquered death and hell and the grave. He accomplished something. He accomplished what he was sent to this world to accomplish. He ensured that eternal life would be given to mortal men, all who would receive him by faith. This is why the Lord's Supper is a memorial. And it's symbolic. It doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. Jesus is alive and he is well tonight. Amen? And yes, he died, but now he's alive forevermore and he's obtained eternal salvation for us. His death wasn't in vain. It accomplished the purpose for which God sent him into this world. To obtain eternal salvation for us. And the Lord's Supper, it's pictorial, it's prophetic, and it's also perpetual. It's a wonderful, wonderful reaffirmation of our faith, testifying the Lord's death on the cross, proclaiming his glorious return as well. Verse 26 says, you show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's Supper, listen, It runs the whole gamut of our salvation from the very beginning to our eternal future with the Lord. And the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance, and it declares salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. His body was broken for you. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 28 says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Symbolic of what Christ went through, that his blood was shed for the remission of sins. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read it to you. If you're not there, 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, we're redeemed by his precious blood. So the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance, remembering what the Lord did for you and for me. Remembering what he accomplished, our eternal salvation. But secondly, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 11, it's also a time of repentance. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, down to verse 30. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Here we find that it's a time of repentance. First of all, a time of repentance from our sin. These verses here, verses 27 through 30, they paint a very solemn portrait of the Lord's Supper service. You see what he's saying here? Verse 27, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. That sounds serious. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There's a very solemn picture that is painted here of the Lord's Supper service. And it seems that the Lord takes it very, very seriously. He expects us to deal with our sin before we partake of the bread and of the cup. That's why we have a time of prayer, a time of reflection, I guess, and just a time to talk to the Lord before the elements are given out. Because the Bible says, let a man examine himself. You know what? God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his mind on this. And the situation that Paul was dealing with in Corinth here was that these people were not taking the Lord's Supper seriously. There was all kinds of error in the way that they were observing it. And they weren't taking it seriously. And people were sickly. And some were dead because of them taking it lightly and not understanding it. And so the Word of God gives us some instruction here. Let a man examine himself. It's a time of repentance from our sin. You know, we come tonight, prayerfully, you already came to church with a heart that's right with the Lord. Prayerfully, you took some time, even before the church service started tonight, to reflect. Maybe even in a time of prayer, I don't know. But maybe, hopefully, prayerfully, you took some time just between you and the Lord to make sure that your heart is right with God and your heart is prepared, that you come into His house as a clean vessel, right with the Lord and surrendered to the will of God. Even more so, as we observe the Lord's Supper. And you know, the fact of the matter is, we all sin, right? Every day. We fail the Lord. Every day, the thought runs through my mind, Lord, I failed you again today in some area. I know I need to do better and I want to do better. Make me clean and Lord, you work this in me that I would gain victory in my life for your glory. Just about every day that thought runs through my mind. Because I fail the Lord every day. But you know what we always find? Even though we all sin, we find that there's forgiveness with the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We dare not treat the Lord's Supper with disrespect. We dare not eat unworthily or in an unworthy manner. We'll talk about that in just a minute. It's a time of repentance from our sin, but you know what else? It's a time of repentance from our selfishness. You know what the attitude of the practice of the church at Corinth was at this point? Selfishness. Paul addresses that in these verses. Verse 17, he said, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat in or to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Paul was addressing the attitude and the practice of the church at Corinth as one of selfishness. And the Lord's Supper is a time when we're to remember actually the selflessness of Jesus Christ when he gave himself for you and for me. And we ought to make that character quality paramount in our own life, selflessness, like the Lord. Place others ahead of ourselves. To take that back seat, as it were, of our own life. It's a good thing for us to remember and to be instructed and be reminded of how selfish we can really be, but how selfless the Lord was. The last thing is that the Lord's Supper service, not only a time of repentance, but also a time of renewal. Renewal. We need some things renewed. And first of all, I see that we need our vision renewed. The time at the Lord's table is really a great time for us to really remember why we're here anyway as a church. We should take the time to ask the Lord, first of all, to renew our vision of the purity of his church. Look at verse 29 here. We need our vision of the purity of his church renewed. He says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Not discerning the Lord's body. These people that drink and eat and drink in an unworthy manner, they eat and drink damnation to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body. They didn't have a right understanding of the Lord's body. Listen, the Lord's Supper is not a social function, but a solemn occasion. It's not to show love toward the brethren, but it's to remember the Lord and his death. And those who eat and drink unworthily or in an unworthy manner, they bring damnation. That word means judgment, or it means chastisement. They bring chastisement upon themselves. Why? Because they don't discern the Lord's body. What does that mean? It means that they fail to understand that the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, must accurately represent Christ, who is holy, who is undefiled, who is separate from sin. Sin and division within a church, listen, it's a serious offense with God because it destroys the true testimony of Jesus Christ in this world. Understanding the Lord's body, this church is the body of Christ. It needs to be pure. It needs to be holy. It needs to be undefiled. And we have to understand that, listen, it's not a light thing with God, because we are to represent accurately to this world who Jesus Christ is. His church is precious. His church is pure. His church is sacred. It's precious because he loved it and gave himself for it. And he wants to present it to himself spotless. Amen? You and I, as members of this church, that's our responsibility. We need our vision of the purity of the Lord's church renewed. I wonder how many times problems occur and division happens or sin's going on in someone's life. And the reason is because they have no concept of the purity of the church of Jesus Christ that they're part of. Not discerning the Lord's body. We need our vision renewed of the purity of the church, but also our vision renewed of our future. Verse 26 says, "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." The Lord's Supper is a time of expectation. And the time should serve to stir up our thoughts concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. boy, you just look around at the world right now, and you can't, if, for me at least, I can't help but get stirred up about the return of the Lord. You know, we have a free country that we live in, and but you just see the decline on every hand, all around, just the insanity of people. People have lost their minds completely of what's normal. I mean, it's just, and there's no common sense, and just the absurdity of things. I saw this video clip today of just a wackadoo liberal, you know, millennial. I just lumped all of the millennials into that category, I know, but this group of people, this girl, she's kind of the ringleader. She's got her really short boy haircut, you know, all spiky, and she walks into this restaurant and just basically hollers to get everybody's attention in this restaurant. And she goes on this spiel about how she's got a little girl, and then her little girl was abused, and her little girl was this and that and so on. Turns out she's talking about a chicken. And she's basically saying that everybody who is eating in this restaurant, it's establishments like this and people like you, you know, that what you're eating on the plate is not food, it's violence, she says. And then she goes, I'm serious, she goes on to say that the eggs of the chicken are people too. They just want to live. And this, I'm serious. And then when she was done with her thing, you know, the rest of her group comes in, they hold up their little posters and make this huge demonstration in the middle of this private restaurant, you know, full of people who are just wanting to live their life. And they're just pushing their agenda. And they're, like I said, wackadoo. The eggs are people too. They just want to live. This is becoming more and more common in our culture. And our culture is void of Jesus Christ. Our culture is void of God. And listen, the Lord's Supper service, I should probably not get ahead of myself here, but the time of the Lord's Supper service should really stir up our minds about our future, that the Lord is coming. And I see stuff like this that I just described, and it's just like, and I just scratch my head and I just say, Lord, would you just come and take us out of this wicked, crazy, turned upside down, sinful world? It doesn't even make sense anymore. We have a bright future, though, amen? Our future is not the demise of our culture and our country. Our future is with the Lord, because this world is not our home. The truth is, Jesus Christ died for us. He rose again. He ascended into heaven for us. There he makes intercession for us. But he promised that he was going to return again for us. Amen? John 14 and verses 1 through 3. Give us that promise. One day soon, our Savior is going to return from glory to take his children home. And as we observe the Lord's Supper service, the Bible says we observe it and we do show the Lord's death till he come. We've got a promise that he's coming again. So as we pass out the bread, the juice, in just a few minutes, remember, our future is bright in Jesus Christ. Are you ready for his return? Are you living for his return? These are all reminders, the time of remembering, time of repentance, a time of renewing. And when we grab hold of these thoughts and these principles, get our heart focused on them. Listen, the Lord's Supper service can be a blessed time. Fellowship with the Lord, honoring the Lord, worshiping the Lord, remembering the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Lord's Supper, the body that was broken in our place. The blood that was shed, the spotless blood that was shed for the remission of sins. We could never buy our salvation. We could never earn our salvation. We could never really pay for our own salvation. It had to be the sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we remember it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not forget it in our daily living. But let the sacrifice of Christ and the gravity and the weight of what the Lord did for me, let it inspire me to live for you, to love you, to think again and understand, where would I be tonight if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? Maybe dead, maybe in the flames of hell, I don't know. But certainly a life that is would be void of peace, a life that would still be under the condemnation of the wrath of God. And no amount of religion, no amount of good deed could ever merit favor with God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and what he did in giving of himself. A sacrifice. Father, we thank you as well for the forgiveness that we have. When we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And we can observe this Lord's Supper together as a church. Father, we can be free and clean and pure from all sin. Father, I pray that you'd renew in our mind the purity of your church. Father, renew in our mind the precious nature of the Lord's body. Father, that we would treat it with respect and love it and understand the great privilege it is to be a part of it, that we might accurately represent Jesus Christ in this world. And Lord, renew in our mind again our eternal home, our future, in the presence of the Lord, the promise that you would come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. All of these things are wrapped up and contained inside of the Lord's Supper service. And I pray, Lord, that tonight as we observe it, that you'd meet with us and Father, be a blessed time together. In Jesus' name.